our study on undying purpose. And this is the life of Joseph. Again, if you have not read Genesis chapter 37 through 50, you might want to do that. This will give you, I don't have time to tell the whole story because I get about 30 minutes to do this, and you just can't read it all or tell the whole story. But this is one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible that has to do with a man who had a purpose and a man who was of great character. And there's, certain things that we learn about this man and what he says, what this story tells us as Christians. And I think one of the reasons that the Old Testament was given, not only a history, but they were given as examples for us, positive and negative. One thing I love about the Bible, it doesn't sugarcoat anything. Nothing is sugarcoated. I mean, the sin is there for you to see. And if it was just a man writing the Bible, he definitely wouldn't make himself look bad. Do you ever write something, something about yourself? You don't put your bad stuff down, do you? You paint yourself a pretty picture. But the Bible tells it all. The great characters of the Bible, Abraham, we see his flaws. And Isaac, we see his flaws. And Jacob, flawed. Even Peter in the New Testament, we see his flaws. So it doesn't sugarcoat it at all. So we see the Bible as it is. But it also gives us some examples of what we should do and be like. And this is one of the great Old Testament stories of a man who had an undying purpose. And his life was governed by purpose. And I think this is one of the things that we want to learn as Christians, that this life is not just about making a living, living Monday through Friday so that we could get to the weekends and rest. I mean, the routines of life. It's about purpose. It's about God's purpose in us. And we believe that every person born is born with a purpose. Everybody has a calling. And when we think of calling, we're thinking religiously. But I believe that school teachers are called to be school teachers. I want God called school teachers teaching my grandchildren. Don't you want God called teachers teaching your children? And we're fixing to start back to school here in another week or so. And thank God we have some Christian teachers in this church, and they have one of the greatest avenues to impact those kids. And and I think about coaches who, football is big. Does anybody like football? Oh, y'all weenies. Come on, I like some football. And one of the neat things is if you have a coach who is a Christian and who is an influencer of people, wow, they can speak into a kid's life a tremendous amount. They might not listen to a preacher, but they listen to coach. Because coach has all the answers, so they think. So if we have teachers and coaches and nurses and doctors, and it doesn't matter what we do in life, we need to view it as our calling and our purpose. Because everything should come out of a spiritual principle in our life, our whole life. The way that we do family should be based on a spiritual principle. It should be God-honoring. Everything that we are, the marriage should honor God. God created marriage. And it's an institution that has been given by God to bring Him glory. And we can sin against God by sinning against our marriage. And the way that we raise our children should be based on principle. The way that we do our jobs, if you work for somebody, the way that you do your job should be based on a spiritual principle. Everything in life should be regimented by principle. And this is one of the things that we see here in the life of Joseph. Joseph was not a perfect person. He didn't come from a perfect background. None of us come from perfect backgrounds. None of us were raised in a perfect family. You know why? Because there's no such thing as a perfect family. I got a good mom and dad. I've been blessed all my life, but my daddy wasn't perfect. Now, my mama was. She was in first service, but she wasn't perfect. They didn't do everything right. And, you know, when you go to school and you have friends and you have things that happened to you when you were in school, you remember what the bully that picked on you. You remember different things that happened to you in life. I was always the little bitty guy. I know you look at me now and you never see that, but I was always the littlest guy in class. And that did something to me. You know, emotionally, that did something to me that I had to deal with later in life. So there's no such thing as a perfect situation. And we're all affected by our situations. And we've talked about three things that shaped Joseph's life and three things that he had to overcome. And the first one was his background, because he was raised in a dysfunctional family. His daddy, Jacob, was, his name meant supplanter. Jacob was a taker. There's two kinds of people in life. There's takers and there's givers. There are those who take value from people, and there are those who add value to people. Everybody fits in those categories. You either take away value or you add value. And Jacob was one who took away value. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He cheated his brother out of his inheritance. He tried to cheat his father-in-law. And it wasn't until he had an encounter with God where God changed his heart, and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. But you know what? A lot of the damage had already been done because he showed favoritism among his children. How many of you know that a parent who favors one child over the other is going to cause strife in the family? And the Bible talks about how that Joseph's brothers hated him because the father's favoritism. And what will hatred do in a family? Did you ever know a family where there was hatred? You know, as a pastor, I'm called on to do funerals. And I've been involved in some situations, most of them outside the church, where family members fought and didn't get along. And they had conflicts even at the funeral. Some wouldn't even come to the funeral because there was hate in the family. And that brings such hurt into people's lives. Such hurt and such damage in people's lives. But you know, one thing that we need to realize, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It can be changed. You don't have to be shaped by your background. You don't have to be shaped by a dysfunctional family. You don't have to be permanently damaged because your parents got a divorce. You don't. Now, you can be. It does affect you, but you can overcome. See, one thing that we have as Christians is we have the power to choose to change. You can't change yourself, but you can choose to change. You can choose to cooperate with what God is trying to do in your life because God is committed to the purpose that He's put on the inside of you. God will always be committed to that purpose. But you have to cooperate with Him. It doesn't happen just because God chose for it to happen. We have a part to play in that, and to the degree that that will happen in our lives. It can happen big or it can be limited. There are people who had purpose in their heart. And I'm not going to try to be political here, but I'm going to mention a situation. There's a guy who wanted to be president, and his name was it Jonathan Edwards? Is that right? Okay. And he wanted to be president. But guess what? He didn't make it. You know why? You know why he didn't make it? You know what his downfall was? He cheated on his wife who was dying with cancer. And he fathered a child while he was with his wife outside of his marriage. He dishonored his marriage. And what he was in private affected who he would become in public. He could not cover it up. And what we need to realize that who we are in private affects who we will ever be in public. Now, there are people who are called PR people, public relations. And what they try to do is they try to make you look better than what you really are. But you know what? If you're a person of character and you're a person of principle, you don't need somebody to do PR for you, because your character will come through and it will speak for you. You won't have to hire somebody to make you to look better than what you are, because you are what you are. You know, and if you know one good thing about telling the truth, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember about, you know, telling a lie and have to tell a lie to cover the lie that you told and all of this kind of stuff. It's just, you just become a person of character, who you are in private. There's a book that Bill Hybels wrote. He says, "Who are you when no one's looking? Who are you when no one's looking?" And what happens in private will affect the public. What you are in private will determine your potential for your purpose. And Joseph is going to run into something today, and we're going to talk about that. But he had to overcome his background. The second thing that we talked about was the things that happened to him because of the seeds that he sowed. And we saw where he told his dream, and it caused his brothers to hate him more. Whether he did that out of ignorance, or he did it out of self-esteem issues, or whether he did it out of pride, it caused him to wind up in the pit. And there's times that the things that we do in life causes us to wind up in the pit. Have you ever been in the pit? Say, "Man, I'm in the pits today." Well, sometimes it's the things that we do in life that causes us to wind up in the pit. It's the bad choices that we make that causes us to be in bondage. Now, you can't blame somebody else for your bad choices. Understand that. "Well, if mama hadn't done this." No, don't blame mama. Mama may have influenced you, or daddy may have influenced you, but you're the one that still made the choice. We have to take responsibility for the things that we choose in life. I am the one that is in control of my destiny. My relations, it should flow through my relationship with God. And my wife, she can't stop that. You can't stop that. Nobody else can stop that. I'm the only one that can stop that from happening. I have to cooperate with what God wants. If I'm going to reach my potential, then I have to make the right choices to cooperate with God and allow Him to work in that. And I can make wrong choices, and I pay the price when that happens. It's called sowing and reaping. And you know what? We have all, in this place today, we have all made bad choices, and we've all reaped what we've sown. One thing I love about God, that He forgives us, and He can rescue us from the bad choices that we make, and He can still work in our lives. God is still big enough that we can't outmaneuver Him. That we can't get ourselves in such a place that He cannot fulfill our destiny. Now, we can just say, "Nope, I'm not going to let you do it." He'll honor that if you want Him to do that. Today we're going to talk about something that's a little more difficult, because there's times that we do not understand why bad things happen in our lives. And there's things that happen that had nothing to do with our backgrounds. It had nothing to do with sowing and reaping. It's just something bad that happened. And I want to say this to you. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that goes against the grain of the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this age. He is the one, is the influencer in this age. "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through." This earth belongs to God, but this age is under the influence of Satan. Say, well, just look out there. You'll see it everywhere. Bad things happen everywhere. And sometimes we run into those things because we are going against the grain of the world. And it just happens. It's a fact of life. It's not God doing it to us. It's not ourselves doing it to us. We just live in a place that just goes cross grain to the principles that are to govern our lives. And sometimes it hurts And sometimes it costs us. But here's one thing it does not do. It does not limit God. And what we need to learn how to do is be faithful to the purpose that's in our heart, and God will perform His purpose in our lives. And this is something that we see in the life of Joseph. So Joseph found himself in a pit. Could have been his own sowing and reaping. But he found himself in a pit. And then he found himself sold into slavery. And they took him and they went to Egypt and they sold him. Now in Genesis, if you got your Bible, you want to turn, you want to look on the screen. Verses 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Ossifer. I used to say that word, called the police officer, Ossifer. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So Joseph is sold into bondage. He is sold into slavery, and he's sold again and bought by Potiphar, who was a high-ranking captain in Pharaoh's army. He brings him into his home. Now, in verse 3, let's read some more here. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, you know, Joseph could have been bitter at his brothers. Joseph could have been bitter at his circumstance. He could resented his background. He could resented his father for showing favoritism. He could have resented his brothers for hating him. He could been mad at himself for how did I get myself in this mess? And he could have allowed that to keep him from being what he was supposed to be. But Joseph was a person of purpose. Remember, we said that Jacob meant supplanter, or he who takes, and Joseph means he shall add. Now, really, it had to do with God adding Joseph, but it became his purpose too, that every place that Joseph was, he added value. Now, he had a dream in his heart. And here's one thing that you need to know about your purpose and your dreams and the things that are happening in your life. It is a progressive thing. It does not happen overnight. I remember starting out as a young pastor, having big dreams. My first church, oh my gosh, 5 people. I pastored it for 2.5 years. I saw a bigger church than 5 people. When I left, it was 30 people. Okay? My second church, small church. When I left, about 30 people. 30 years ago this month, I came here, 60 people. And I remember in those early days, I remember some very frustrating times in my life. I remember some bad things happening around me. I have known betrayal by board members. I've known people who stabbed me in the back. Been through lots of stuff, but one thing that I could never get away from was the dream I had in my heart. And what Satan was trying to do, he was trying to steal my dream. He was trying to steal my destiny. He was trying to steal my purpose. And I can remember dreaming, standing before large congregations and preaching the gospel. And I didn't see that for years and years and years. What I'm seeing now, I dreamed about 20 years ago. And you know what? I'm still dreaming. I still got dreams. I still see things that we haven't done yet. I still see ministries that we haven't stepped into yet. And I got a few more years, and I've still got some dreams to go. Glory to God. And I've determined that I'm not going to let anything keep me from the purpose that God has in my heart. And here's Joseph in this situation. He could have been bitter. He could have been discouraged. He could have been mad at God. He could have been mad at himself, his dad, his brothers, his circumstances, whatever. Here he is. He's enslaved. But you know what he does? He honors God. And God is with him. He could have thought, you know what? When I get to where I'm going, then I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. No, he didn't do that. He was faithful right where he was at. He was living the principle of his dream of adding value wherever he was at. You know, the Bible says that there is a principle that if we're faithful over little, God will make us over much. And if we're not faithful with little, then God can't trust us with much. And Joseph was practicing this. Here he was in Potiphar's house serving Potiphar. Now, let's read this. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You know why? Because Joseph hadn't given up on his dream. And he was adding value wherever he was at. So Joseph found favor in his sight. I know people who confess favor, but they don't do anything that brings favor to them. Okay? They think it's just the confession. Well, if I confess favor, then I'll have favor. Well, confess favor, but learn to do the things that'll draw favor to you. See? There's a big difference in that. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. You know how he found favor? He served him. He was not selfish. He served him. He took the task that was in front of him. He took his as assigned task, and he was faithful in those little things, and he served him. And you know what Potiphar did? Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So God blessed Joseph so much and blessed Potiphar's house so much that Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything. All he did, he showed up at supper time and he ate. He didn't have to keep the books. He didn't even have to know how much money was coming in. He didn't know anything about that. Joseph handled it all, and there was a blessing. You know what Joseph was doing? He was adding value where he was at. Had he reached his potential yet? No. See, Joseph is destined to bring blessing to the world at that time. But at this point, he was bringing value to that house that he was in. See, he was being faithful in the small, and God was going to promote him to the big. And if you're not faithful with the little, you won't be faithful with the much. And therefore, if you're not faithful with the little, you'll never be successful with the much. Are you with me today? Well, you know, when I prosper more, then I'm going to give. Never happen. Be faithful with the little. The prosperity will come. Well, you know what? When I feel a little more comfortable, then I'm going to step up and do. No. You got to be faithful. Sometimes you have to push through the thing that holds you back and take a step of faith. I know so many people's lives, and I'm not speaking in anyone in particular, according to conversations that I've had this last week. This is just coming up, so here it is. I don't pick on people on purpose. In the spirit, sometimes I slam them. But not. I don't try to pick on people on situations that I know. But sometimes we have to step through our fear, and we have to take steps of faith, okay? Sometimes we have to determine if something is wisdom or not, okay? But sometimes the thing that holds us back is our fear. And we think, well, when I know more, or when I have more, when I am more, when this is right, and it's never right. It's never right. Every growth step that I've ever taken was very uncomfortable. Growth is not easy. Remember puberty? Puberty was very uncomfortable. Okay. So he was faithful in all this, and God was blessing it in the little. And here comes the test. where does this test come from? Does it come from God? Absolutely not. Look here. Now, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Here comes the test. Now, here's Joseph. He's this young man. You know, when Joseph went into slavery, he was 17. When he stood before Pharaoh and was promoted, he was 30. So he was somewhere in his prime, naturally speaking. Okay? You get my drift? Do I need to get more explicit? Okay. You flowing with me? Are you rolling with me? Are you tracking with me? Okay. So here this gorgeous woman comes in and says, "Lie with me." Every young man's dream. Was he tempted? Absolutely. Duh. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called a temptation. You know, somebody could set whiskey in front of me. No temptation. They put a cheeseburger. I'm all over that cheeseburger. Okay? Big old honking chocolate cake. I'm all over that. That's tempting. Whiskey. Forget that. I tasted that before. That's gross. There are some things that tempt you and there are some that don't. And this pretty woman was a temptation. And I'll show you why in a minute. And she said to him, "Lie with me." Now notice what he said, because this is so important. Verse 8. But he refused and said to his master's wife. Say master's wife. "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I." It was Potiphar than him. He was greater in the house than the wife. Okay? He had been given a stewardship. "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He didn't say sin against Potiphar. He said sin against God. See, Joseph realized that this temptation was not just about sex. See, we have such cavalier light things about sex. Well, it's just sex. It's just sex. It's not a big deal. It's just sex. Well, let me tell you what just sex will do. It robs people of their innocence. It brings guilt. It robs us of intimacy. How can you be intimate with your spouse if you've slept with 20 other people? It robs us of our innocence and our intimacy. We struggle with it. It's just sex. No, it's much deeper thing than that. The Bible talks a whole lot about passion, and it talks a whole lot about our sexuality. Our sexuality affects so many different things in our lives. And that's why God chose the institution of marriage for that expression. And that's why he blessed it in the context of that institution. And he didn't just call it an institution. He called it a covenant. See, we have old covenant and new covenant. And then we have the marriage covenant. And he calls it a covenant. Why? Because it is a sacred trust. And what happens when that trust is violated? It does damage. Oh, nobody will know. That's what he could have said. Nobody will know. That's what she would have said. Nobody will ever know. But you know what? Joseph would have known. God would have known. His conscience would have known. She didn't care. And you know what it would have been a tack at the root of? His redemptive potential. It will affect your potential. It will affect your purpose. It will. It's quiet when you talk like this. But it's not just about sex. And this temptation is not just about sex, although it appears about sex. See, Joseph cut right to the root of it. He says, I cannot sin against God. Because he knew that that's where the root was. And that this attack was an attack on his relationship with God and his relationship with his undying purpose. The presidential candidate, he sinned against his wife. It might have cost him the presidency. I don't know if he'd have made it or not. He felt like that was his purpose, but it cost him. And how many times have wrong relationships, dishonoring the covenant of marriage, and it's just sex, and that whole ideal. See, we live in such a promiscuous society today that sex is just a casual thing, and it's really not. It goes to our very soul. But you know what? She didn't give up. But he refused. And he says, there's no greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything but you. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? She kept on day after day after day. Was he tempted? Sure he was. He was a man. Men are tempted. But he knew that it wasn't just about sex. It was about purpose and it was about God. Then one day the servants were gone. She thought, this is my chance. She goes in and says, lie with me. And he says, I will not. And she grabs him. Says, you'll lie with me. I'll force you. You know what he did? He did the right thing. He ran like a chicken. He did the right thing. And he left his garment. He was the first streaker. He left his garment. And you know what she did? She cried rape. And you know where he winds up? In prison. You say, that's not fair. He did the right thing and wound up, and he paid the price. He was in prison for several years because of this injustice. He said, well, why didn't God do something? Let me tell you something. He did. He kept working on purpose. He kept working and bringing things around so that at the right time, Joseph's promotion would come and he would fulfill his purpose. Did it cost Joseph? For a time. Did he suffer wrongly because of it? Yes. And next week we're going to talk about another area where he was slighted and wronged. But see, it was more than about sex. He could have reasoned, you know what? Nobody will ever know. And he could have done it. And you know what she would have done? As devious as she was, she would have used that to control him later. And he would have surrendered his freedom. Wow. It's just sex. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's about more than that. It's more about than with him and with us too. You know the worst thing I could do? Is have an affair. What would that do to this church? Oh, it wouldn't be that big a deal. Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. Respect would be lost. People would be lost. I could probably have the opportunity. Nobody would ever know, but I would know. Every time I looked at my wife, I would know. Every time I looked at my kids and my grandkids, I would know that I'd been unfaithful. I'd have known. Oh, you could get forgiveness. Yeah. But still, it does something to your heart. See, I know people that get so built up in their own egos, and they get beyond, you know, here I am, this powerful individual, whether they're political or religious leaders. We've seen it happen. And the whole ministry collapses and falls. It's just sex. No, it's more than that. It devastates families. It devastates relationships, in-laws. It just wreaks havoc in people's lives. Now, I'm not here condemning anybody that's been through divorce or had an affair or anything else. You can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about from here on out. You can do it right, and you can be right about it. And you can choose to become a person of purpose and a person of character. And if you will do that, God will work in you and fulfill His purpose through you. Amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. Man, I preached longer than I intended. I do that every time, though. I'm hopeless. Did you get anything out of that today? Okay. I wasn't asking for that. I don't know what the Lord's talking to you about today. You may need forgiveness. You may need to make some decisions about your situation. I don't know. It's just, that's not my business. My business is to put it out there. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw it in and minister to it. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord, and you need to make Him Lord today. Every one of these people can pray with you to do that. But I know that God is dealing with hearts and lives today. So as we pray, we're going to open this up and allow you to come and to receive ministry. Father, thank You so much for Your love today. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, this has been a hard message. This has been direct. Cover us with love and cover us with grace and conviction. We can make things right. We can choose to be people of purpose, not selfish, self-willed, self-serving, self-seeking. But we can honor You with our lives. Draw Your people and minister to them today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you come?